Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God's glory is easy to lose sight of. All it takes is one small sin. In Moses' day, the glory of God would come and go. In the end, it departed, as Israel's sins caused God to draw back his favor. Could this be true even today? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, you're teaching us that nothing else matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. We're learning about God's glory in our worship, and it's clear He takes our worship seriously.
And you know, Dave, we ought to take our worship very, very seriously. Jesus chided the people of His day for blessing Him with their mouths, but their heart was far from Him. You know, listeners to Running to Win will know that I always pray every morning before I get out of bed, including this morning, O God, glorify Yourself in my life today at my expense. It's all about the glory of God. I have in my hands a resource that is going to be a tremendous blessing to you. It's entitled The Red Sea Rules, and it reveals that even in the midst of seemingly impossible situations, God promises to make a way for us. His loving guidance will protect us through danger, illness, marital strife, financial problems. It'll be such an encouragement to you. Love for you to have a copy. Here's what you do for a gift of any amount, and thanks in advance for your generosity. You can go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Or if you prefer, go to 1-888-218-9337. And now we go to the pulpit of Moody Church, where we hear about the glory of God in worship, because the glory of God is what it's all about. God says, Moses, I'll give you my provision and I'll give you my power, but my presence won't go up. And Moses said, I don't care about your provision and your power. I don't care if you send an angel to destroy our enemies. If you do not go with us, we're not going anywhere. Because Moses says, how else are we going to be known as the people who are distinguished from the other nations? And how are we as believers in Jesus Christ, how are we to be distinguished from all other peoples? The answer, of course, is very clear. Because of the dwelling of God among us. It is the distinguishing mark of God's children. And then later on, Moses again says to God, show me your glory. And you know the rest of that story. He couldn't see God directly, but God says, I'll give you a glimpse. He hid him in a cave. The story is there. And Moses saw God, at least partially. Wow. Now, so much for what is it that causes the glory to depart? Sin. Ezekiel has a vision of the temple in Jerusalem that was built by Solomon and was destroyed by the Babylonians. In chapter 9, he sees the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the shining glory. He sees it go to the threshold of the building. Chapter 10, he sees it on the wall, the eastern wall of Jerusalem. And then the next chapter, 11, he sees it at the Mount of Olives, and it disappears. The glory of God left Israel. When they came back, they built the temple under Zerubbabel, you remember? But did you know that the glory never returned? The glory never returned. It did in Solomon's temple, but not in Zerubbabel's. Did that stop them from having meetings? No. And there may have been some really good believers among them, but there are plenty of churches that continue their ritual, even if the glory departs. See, that's what Jesus was referring to in the Gospels, where he said to the Pharisees, you honor me with your lips. You've got the ritual down, but your heart is far from me. And so the glory of God departs, and his presence departs because of sin. How is this glory restored? How do we pursue the glory of God? For this last passage I'll ask you to turn to, Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Now, in the 40th chapter, you have this summary of all the things that Moses did and the building of the tabernacle. And, for example, we find in verse 29 a reference to the burnt altar, the big altar where the sacrifices were made. In verse 30, you have a reference to the basin. When you came into the tabernacle area, you were there at the altar. And that represents to us Jesus Christ and receiving him as Savior. But that wasn't enough for the priest to enter into the Holy of Holies. He had to wash himself too. Let's talk about you today. You who are listening, which I hope is all of you. If you didn't wash yourself through confession of sins and make yourself pure before you came to church this morning, you'll not sense the presence of God. No, no, no. I remember a man telling me, he said that Sunday morning, he said, I was singing all these hymns and I had in my mind all the images of the movie that I saw Saturday night. Where's God in that? Mm-mm. You can't say, well, you know, I'm saved, therefore I can walk into church unprepared and worship. No, you can't. You can't. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they had to go to that altar, but then they had to go to the laver, and then after the laver, they were able to go into the holy place, and then the high priest into the very holy of holies. You see, that's the way the glory is restored. The glory is restored by biblically taking care of sin, because sin always causes the withdrawal of the glory of God among his people and the presence of God. That's why sometimes you can go to church services where they sing all the right things, you listen to all the right things, but there's just no God there. Now, look at what happened when the glory was restored and they took care of the sin question. Chapter 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the people of Israel was set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The glory of God, the presence of God, the manifest presence of God was among them. And where was it localized? I mean, where was the real localized was in what we call the Holy of Holies. You have in your mind, I'm sure, a picture of the tabernacle. You have the holy place that had three different articles of furniture. And then after you are in the holy place, only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And it was a cube. It was a room that was a cube. Same distance for length and breadth and so forth. Let me ask you something. Where else in all the Bible do you have a cube? The only other place is the New Jerusalem. And the statistics of the cube are given to us. And isn't it interesting that when the New Jerusalem comes from God out of heaven, there is a voice that says these words, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." You have the very same reference to in Exodus and Leviticus, the dwelling of God, but at last without having to worry about sin. Face to face with God. And that's why it says regarding the New Jerusalem, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. Why? Because the whole New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies. We dwell in God's presence forever bless his holy name. What are we going to be doing throughout all of eternity? Many assignments given, but the thrilling thing about it all is that it is the dwelling place of God. God finally gets to dwell with his people without the need for mediation. Now, where does all this leave us, and why should our lives be changed, and what does this have to do with tomorrow, bills that can't be paid, and jobs that are threatening to be extinct? Let me give you the bottom line, the bottom line. First of all, number one, only the glory of God really matters. Only it really matters. Nothing else really matters. The issue in your life and mine is not whether or not life is easy. The issue is not whether or not we get the advancement that we think that we deserve, or whether or not we get the partner that we think we deserve. And when we do, we take comfort in the fact that things could be worse. The real issue is more fundamental than that, and that is, what does God want me to do, and how do I glorify him in this situation? It's an entirely different question. Let me ask you something. Let's suppose that God says, okay, you can go to heaven. Heaven will have everything that you want to eat. It'll have various things that you can do, enough games and projects to keep you from being bored, and that's what heaven is going to be like. Would you say, well, you know, that sounds pretty good to me? No. Imagine heaven without the presence of God. It wouldn't be heaven if God gave us that. I remind you of the words of Moses. Lord, if your presence does not go with us, then do not take us up from here. And I might say that it is indeed better to live in poverty with the presence of God than to dwell with riches without his presence, getting them dishonestly so that you lose favor with God and you don't sense his presence. Nothing else really matters. Doesn't matter whether or not you get all your prayers answered. Doesn't matter whether or not life works out well, and I'm not talking about a passivity here, but I am saying this, that at the end of the day, really, nothing else matters. Our egos don't matter anymore in the presence of God. It doesn't matter whether we get all the accolades that we think we have coming to us. Doesn't matter whether or not we are thanked properly. All of the pettiness of life, all of the gossip of life, all that is washed away because nothing else matters except God and his glory. Second, you can see that it is clear the fact that the presence of sin and the presence of God are incompatible. The presence of sin and the presence of God are incompatible. Whenever you desire that the presence of God be manifest, be evident, whenever that happens, you always know that God begins by cleaning up his people. And God asks us to come, as it were, to the altar. That is to say, I'm using Old Testament terminology, to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And after we've done that, to go to the laver, the basin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to put sin away so that God's presence can be very, very evident among his people. God loves to dwell with his people. He wants to talk to them. He wants our companionship. And we should desire his as well. You cannot live in sin and know the companionship of God, his presence. Many years ago in Leadership Magazine, there was a long article by a man in Christian work who struggled with pornography. When Leadership Magazine published this article, they had more response to it than any other, I suppose, that they ever had. And the article ended with a lot of hope and a lot of deliverance. 5 years later, the same man, who was writing anonymously, wrote apiece. And in it, he said, the thing that turned him around, the thing that never let him just stay in that pit as a Christian, was that he so lost his fellowship with God. The companionship of God was gone. He could not look into the eyes of God and walk with God and say, God, I desire your presence. I desire your blessing. Because the Bible says the pure in heart will see God. And that's what gave him the motivation to say, I'll do whatever I need to do to get rid of this so that I get the presence of God back. You cannot have the presence of God in the presence of unconfessed sin. When God wants to clean us up and restore his presence, he always does it by asking us to deal with issues that we've shoved under the rug for a long time so that his glory can return to our lives. And let us keep in mind that that is exactly what we want to have happen here at the Moody Church. There are certain streams that are coming together of prayer and commitment and planning. And we believe that God wants to do something wonderful among us. But remember, this presence of God withdraws when you and I choose sin. But can you imagine how freeing it is once for all to live for God's glory alone? Let me share with you what I'm doing in my own life, and I've been doing this several months. As I say, when I wake up in the morning, you know, during that period of time when you ask God one more time, do I really have to get out of bed? And you're wondering what the day holds. I usually pray, Lord, today I give you my day. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to be in me all that I need. I want to walk in the Spirit today. But for the last 3 or 4 months, I've been praying this as I still lie in bed, trying to get the nerve to get up. Though I don't have that difficult a time getting up, you understand. But this is what I pray. I say, God, today, glorify yourself in me at my expense. Would you pray that prayer? How many of you would pray that prayer every morning? You're going to commit to pray that prayer. Today, O God, glorify yourself in me at my expense. There's a final lesson, and that is that we cannot know the glory of God except through Jesus. Herod builds his big temple. The glory doesn't return to the temple. But while Herod's temple is standing, there is somebody who does return. He comes to earth. And it says in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one who came to restore the glory. There's some of you who are listening to this message. And when I speak of the companionship of God, you can't relate because you never thought of a personal relationship with God. You say, what about his companionship? The fact that you can look into the sky and see all that is up there and say that I know him and he's my heavenly Father. And you connect with the Almighty. You can only do it through Jesus Christ. Nobody else out there qualified to do that. Nobody else has the glory of God. Nobody else offers the forgiveness of God. And then what Jesus did is, in anticipation of doing this, you remember he said to the disciples as they were having the Passover, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, this do in remembrance of me. And he took the bread and broke it and says, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. And Jesus was saying thereby that through faith in him, through confidence in what he did on our behalf and a transfer of trust to all that he did, we come to know him, love him, and our relationship is personal. And we have the privilege, the unmistakable privilege. Could there be any greater? The unmistakable privilege of walking with God in companionship, which is exactly what he desires. because the sin issue has been taken care of through Jesus Christ. Do you know God that way? Do you know God only as an abstraction, or do you know God personally? You can only do that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember to pray every morning. Today, glorify yourself in me at my expense. Can you imagine how you can handle your day differently? Because the issues aren't those issues now. The only issue is, how does God get glory from this? How do I glorify God in this? Not how I can get even, how I can take care of this, how I can... No. How do you glorify God is the only thing. Nothing else really matters. Let's pray. Thank you. Father, draw us close to your heart, I pray. Help us to know that life isn't what we think it is. Things are not the way they appear to be. The issues that we consider the big issues are not the big issues. The big issue is your glory. Deliver us from all other concerns and putting those idols in the place of your glory, your holiness. If you've been listening to this message and you've never received Christ as Savior, even where you are seated, just say, I want to know God personally. I receive Christ as my Savior. I receive his sacrifice on my behalf, believing that he died in my stead. You tell him that right now. And if you have prayed that prayer, come and tell one of us. Tell one of the staff or one of the prayer partners that will be up here. At the end of the day, nothing else matters. Lord, we love you. Glorify yourself at our expense. In Jesus' name, amen. My dear friend, I hope that you pray that prayer every single morning, because it is all about the glory of God. My, how it will simplify your life, and you'll be able to accept very difficult circumstances much better. You know, as we think about the ministry of Running to Win, I have a letter here from a man by the name of John, who said, for 19 years I suffered from depression with thoughts of suicide, and I had one failed attempt to end my life with a firearm, especially after the loss of my family. When I say I'm still here by the grace of God, I mean it. Then he goes on to say that he prayed for a long time, and that we, that is the ministry of Running to Win, has been an instrument of the holy God in the process of healing. And then he thanks me personally. But you know, my friend, it's not about me, it's not about Moody Church, it's not about the Running to Win ministry. It's all about God, and we give him the glory. Would you consider standing with us and becoming an endurance partner? That is somebody who gives regularly to this ministry, who prays for us, who connects with us. Here's how you can become a part of the Running to Win family. Go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Every victory that we hear about is a victory for our Running to Win family, for you. Perhaps you've never connected with us before. Here's what you do. Go to rtwoffer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Why do you go to church? To visit friends, hear inspiring music, to be seen by others? Believers need a better reason for attending. Next time on Running to Win, we explore how to express to God his worth to us. That's what the word worship is all about. Don't miss a message on God's glory in our church. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.